warning.
Warning!
Now for a word of caution.
It's time to step into the danger zone with your host, the danger himself, Chris Danker.
Chris Danker. Chris Danker.
Yeah. I say yeah. Welcome back into the danger zone once again. I'm your host, first name Chris, last name Danker, sometimes Danger. We'll actually talk about that a little bit later. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. This is probably going to be the last solo episode for a while. If you didn't know, scheduling a podcast that predominantly features, you know, wrestlers who travel all over the world and you know, are in a different time zone every 12 seconds and, you know, at a different state or city every day, they can be hard to lock down at times. So some things happened, you know, this last week we had to reschedule a bunch, but because of all that, it just so happens that now we've got about three or four different conversations scheduled for next week's recording sessions. So a decently sized batch of them. So I will just say that I'm very excited about that. I'm really excited about this next wave of guests, even though that, you know, it's going to be a busy week coming up. But, oh, man, some of these names, all of the names that I'm going to be working with coming up are really cool to me. And just having this opportunity and the way that it has kind of spread as it has, as quickly as it has already, is really, really cool. So just thank you guys for that. I know I say that every episode, and at some point it probably fucking sounds like I'm pandering or whatever, but like that's how it is. Like, this podcast, anything I do would be nothing without viewers, without listeners, without supporters, you know what I mean? So I just want everybody to know that I'm grateful for that. But at the end of the day, I don't ever want to be in a position where I'm like panic rushing to get guests and stuff like that, because I mean, this is Into the Danger Zone with, you know, Chris Danker. You know, that's me. Hello. And you know, and I'm sure a lot of people tune in for the conversations that I have with other people. But if there's one thing that I'm confident in, it's probably my ability to babble on for a good little while to my damn self with nobody else around. So podcasting is right up my alley, right? It's just kind of made for you, boy. At least that's what I'm going to tell myself. Obviously, the biggest thing though to come from this past week, I shouldn't say obviously, because you know, people could have missed it, may have not seen it or whatever. It was announced via social media that, Chris Danger, in the flesh, live and in living color, will be making an appearance at the DPW Fire taping on December 11th in Jacksonville, North Carolina. I was really not sure how people were going to react to that announcement, because, you know, DPW is a legitimate promotion. It's not an e-fed, contrary to popular belief. And after they announced real wrestlers like friggin' Luther from AEW and Andrew Everett and, you know, all these names for the show, I was unsure what the initial response was going to be to the announcement of, you know, this guy who's, you know, debuting, or I guess technically re-debuting, right? Because we are talking about, you know, a former multi-time world champion and all that, of course. He was just semi-retired. However, but the response was crazy, man. The response was so crazy. And the messages I got and the people that haven't talked to me in forever that were just like, what the hell is this? All of it was really cool, and I can't say shit about it. I'm not gonna say shit about it. There's a lot of stuff planned for the future. Everything will become much clearer on the day of the show and following, you know, the release of those shows, as far as what exactly I'm doing and all that type of stuff. I want to kind of keep that close to the chest for now. But that's actually one of the things that inspired this episode a little bit, because I did get a lot of questions about that announcement and about the show. So I thought it would be pretty cool to do kind of like an in-depth Q&A with me. How you doing? It's me again. I posted on my Instagram at TheChrisDanker. If you're not following me, give me your questions. You know, make them good, make them unique. And, you know, the best ones might get answered on the podcast. And that is what we are doing today. I got my phone right here. And I have not vetted the questions as of yet for a couple reasons. I didn't want to, like, think about any of the questions beforehand. I wanted everything to kind of just be raw off the top of my head. This is probably going to be, like, the longest Q&A I've ever done. I've done some stuff for YouTube, but it was all, you know, highly edited and cut down for time or for content purposes, but not today. Not today. We are gonna let it rip. So hopefully we got some good stuff in here, but let's find out. But of course, before we get into any of that, we have to talk about Omega Coffee Brain Pills. Now let me tell you about I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to do that to you. I just got my cappuccino. That's not a sponsor. No sponsors. No, none of that. Right? However, if you want to support the show, of course, there's Patreon. Patreon.com/ChrisDanker. And thank you guys so much who have already... All right, wait. You know, thank you to my patrons. Where? All right, let's look. Whatever, let's do this. Oh, my God. First question that I see is already a great one. Is she really shaped like a Coke bottle? And then in well, asterisk, he put pop. And anybody that doesn't get that reference, which is probably a lot of people, also thank you, Tucker the Fucker, for that question. So that's a line from a song I did with my music group Odyssey back in the day. How does the actual line go? She got that walk talk like a top model. She shaped like a Coke bottle. And then we said, pop, I think we'll just keep that moving. Zach, how could I become a YouTuber? This is probably the question I get asked like more than anything. Bro, you just gotta do it. You just gotta do it. Like, it is free to create a YouTube account. Most people have a phone these days. Most phones have fantastic cameras in them. You know, Bob's your uncle right there. You know what I mean? It's at this point with all the information out there that there is about how to do things and how many tutorials there are about it. You know how many stupid ass tutorials? There's a tutorial that taught me how to like hook my voice up to yell at my game so that it responded to what I was saying to it. Like, there's literally tutorials for everything, and I'm kind of at the point where when someone asks me this, I almost feel like, okay, do you really want to do it? Do you really want to do it? Because if you did, you would just do it. You know what I mean? If you did, you would do it. You create a YouTube account, you make a video, you upload it. Your first video is going to suck. Your second video is going to suck. Your third video is going to suck. Probably all the way up to like your 10th or 12th video minimum are going to be trash, because you're going to try to emulate what other people do. You are not, you know, you're not going to have that rhythm yet. You're not exactly sure what you want to do. You literally just have to get out and try and test. And it's all literally trial and error. That's what YouTube is when you first start out. It's trial and error. What works for me? What works for, you know, the platform itself? What do people want to watch? What can I give people that they want to see that I also enjoy watching? So there's a lot of things that go into it. But at the same time, you could literally get started tonight, right now, if you really, truly wanted to. Okay. Omega MFW, who's one person you want to interview but can't? Oh, can't. Define can't, because I'm a competitive person, and if you tell me I can't do something, that's going to make me want to do something. So I think the only person, like, that I can tell you for sure I could never, ever, ever get on this podcast is probably Vince friggin' McMahon himself. Just because he doesn't do that stuff. I think I could get... I don't want to say... okay. I don't want to say what I'm thinking in my head. If I believe that all of the people that I want to talk to, I believe that I eventually will be able to talk to them. Let's put it that way. I believe in, you know, what I'm building and what I'm doing and the relationships I've already made. And, you know, there's a lot of people I want to talk to. I'm realistic about most of my expectations. You know, I'm not sitting here and saying, like, tomorrow I'm going to interview a Justin Bieber. Like, that's not, like, he's probably busy. Drake is probably busy. And probably wouldn't want to do it. But, as I said, with the relationships that I've made and the people that I know, I feel confident in my ability to be able to talk to a wide range of people, which I'm incredibly grateful for. And I think it's cool as hell. And little mini baby Chris growing up loving wrestling, like, would freak out. He would lose his fucking mind knowing that his older self is just like having conversations with wrestlers and these people that like he literally grew up respecting. So one person I want to interview, but I can't. Vince McMahon. There you go. There's my answer. How does it feel that Chris Danger is going to be a real thing now? That's from Freddy Faded. It's been a real thing for a while in my head, honestly, if I'm being honest about it. Like, I treated this dude like he was a real person. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we were able to do such cool things with him, because I took it seriously and like it felt real. I when I put videos up and I created content and I put this dude in matches and shit or whatever, like I wanted the people watching to feel like they were watching or supporting an actual wrestler. And a lot of people got on board with that. A lot of people got on board with that charade, which is basically what it was. Me, you know, pretending to portray a wrestler through this video game character. But I think too that people noticed that, like, sometimes I put a little too much in. And they're like, Chris, you want to, like, you got something you want to say, or you know, you got something you want to get off your chest. I feel like everything with this character has been leading to something like this. What else could I do? Honestly, when you think about it, like, what else? I've done every career, every mode, every game, every story, every concept, whatever, with this Chris Danger character digitally and in a fictional world. Guess what? There ain't shit left to do except one thing, and that's like Freddy Krueger, new nightmare, bring his ass out into the real world and have him cause chaos in that regard. And the fact that that's actually coming to reality and coming to fruition is mind-boggling, because I literally created this dude in a video game, and now he's gonna be live at a wrestling show talking to people as that character. That's fucking crazy. Like, I know it's, God, from the outside, it, you know, it's probably easy to brush it off. Like, whatever, it's just, you know, wrestling, gaming, blah, blah, blah. But like, bro, fuck. Like, I don't sit here and think about this type of shit a lot. And I don't know if people have that perception of me that I just like sit down and like think about all the stuff that I do all the time. It's literally only times like this when I have to talk about it where I sit back and go, oh, fuck, that's pretty fucking cool. And like, I should be in the moment and be grateful for that and like be aware and everything, because it could easily just have not happened, or, you know, or easily everybody could just fucking ignored me and not paid attention and not given a shit about my videos or any of that. And none of this would have happened. You know, so I'm trying to appreciate the moment when it happens. And, you know, what happens from there is anybody's guess. But I got a couple ideas, so we will see. P Penitra Task Machine, why you choose to be WWE gaming content creator rather being a regular creator for Valorant and all, etc. Now, that's a good question. See, I didn't choose this life. This life chose me. Like, I think I've told the story before that I hadn't really uploaded any wrestling at all. I was uploading just Call of Duty videos, just shooter videos and stuff. And they were doing okay. They were doing whatever. And then I started uploading this 2K wrestling content. And the first, second, third video all just went crazy for no reason, out of absolutely nowhere. And it started a snowball effect where I was like, okay, well, this is working, so let's keep doing it. This is working, let's keep doing it. This is working, let's keep doing it. And then years later, you know, I'm a full-time content creator now, primarily doing, you know, the wrestling stuff, but it is by no means a plan that I had beforehand. I wasn't like, I'm going to do wrestling stuff and I'm going to have this many subscribers and I'm going to be the top thing in this and then do that. Like, never was in the plans or I didn't think it was in the cards, because I didn't have that kind of foresight with YouTube. But now that so much time has gone on and I've put in so much of my effort and energy into wrestling content and into the Dank Ops channel and all that stuff, it's important for me now to take the time also to focus on the other shit that I really do enjoy doing, which is, you know, there's non-wrestling content. I love doing podcast stuff, music, like there's so many other things that I enjoy exploring. So now that I feel like I finally have a pretty solid foot in the ground with the Dank Ops channel after all these years, I'm excited to do all the other cool stuff. So I won't say that I chose to be it. I'm not sitting here complaining. Don't get me wrong. But this is definitely not something that I chose. It's something that just kind of happened. And I've used the word grateful quite a bit in this episode, but it's one of the things I'm most grateful for, because it led to, hello, like all of this wouldn't be possible without it. So let me see. Have you ever played a rock bottom on Michelle yet? Yeah, I haven't followed through. Like, I'll hook the arm. I'll hook the arm over the shoulder. I'll do that to everybody, man. I hook the arm over the shoulder to damn near every person I meet. How did you meet Brandon? So we told the story on the Brandon episode of the podcast. So actually let me use the promotion here. Go back and listen to the Brandon episode of the podcast. let me see. What's your hair routine, Case? What's your name? Case? Oh, you spelled it funny. Your name is Case Adia, but you spelled it funky. I like that. So my hair routine is wake up and comb it back and put some little goop in between my fingers and run it back. And that's that. I used to have a much more in-depth process, but I made a slight adjustment to my hair where I literally, like, I don't have to like part it and put it to the side or anything. I literally just kind of push it straight back. So it's kind of just like puffs in the front, but then just rocks. So I literally just put the goop. I forget, what's the name of the shit that I use? I've used this stuff for so many years. It's M. Mitchell something. Mitch. Something about a Mitch. It's like a red little circular container. I literally just put it between my fingers and just like roll it back. And that's that. Look, man. It just comes easier to some people than others. Okay, let me stop. How many wrestling t-shirts do you own? Not as many as you would think. Maybe like four? Four or five? Who is someone you'd love to have a promo battle with? Oh, man. Anybody, man. Anybody. Name somebody who you think is good on the mic and I would want to go against them. Anybody. Name a person. Like, that is, when I explain to you, people ask, oh, have you been training wrestling? Are you training? Blah, blah. All that stuff will be answered in time. All I will say, one thing that I'm looking forward to the most, I'm looking forward to cutting some damn promos on people. Oh my goodness. Jesus, take the wheel. Oh my God. Okay, anyway. I lost my thing here. How do you understand the YouTube algorithm properly, says King Tanish? You don't. No, I'm kidding. You gotta study it. You gotta study, you know, people in your genre. You gotta study what's working, what's trending. There's not one sentence or one thing I could say that's gonna help you just, oh, I get it now. It's literally just study your analytics. Study what's working on YouTube and search for, there's a lot of people on YouTube, Daryl Eves, Studio. Oh, I'm forgetting the names of these things. I'm so bad with remembering just names of things when I need to. There's so many courses and free tutorials, free sessions, lessons, whatever, on YouTube about what's going on with the algorithm, or, you know, ways you can prioritize, maximize, you know, views on your content and all that. So the information is there if you are, if you're looking for it. So I would say, go look for it. This one from Ken just says, good job, man. That's not a question. Where do you see professional wrestling in the next 10 years, 2032? I see it, honestly, probably flourishing. You know, this the era of just having one place to work is no longer a thing. You know, it seems right now that there are obviously more than two places to work, but, I, you know, two people like to go back and forth over the main two places to work. But I think more major places to work will also open up in the next however many handful of years. I think wrestling right now is honestly, I don't want to say we're on a cusp of like a boom or anything, but it's definitely on an overall upward trend. I think interest in it as a whole, now that so many other things have happened, oh, there's a new company around, and, you know, CM Punk's back, and this and that, and all happening in these different companies. It's got a good future ahead of it, if you ask me. And you did ask me. How about that? That's crazy. Out of every video and episode on your channel, what's your favorite, says David. That's too hard to answer. Honestly, the shit I just uploaded, when this goes up, will be yesterday, beating, what's it called? We're winning a match using the friggin' dance pad. That was so much fun to record. I thought that turned out great. A lot of the stuff I've been doing lately has been very enjoyable to me, and I think has been, you know, some of my best stuff in a little bit. What's it like being friends with wrestlers that you may have just been a fan of in the past? So that is also a question I kind of get asked a lot, and it's kind of something I alluded to earlier, where, you know, if you told little Chris that he was gonna be hanging out with wrestlers or playing video games with wrestlers or whatever the hell, he would have lost his mind. And it's funny the way that things change once that relationship starts to change, because, like, I would watch New Day doing whatever and be like, oh yeah, well, New Day, whatever. But then, like, dude's at my house, and, you know, we become friends and all stuff. And now, like, he takes a bump and I'm like, I'm like, more protective of like certain people now when I watch them in the ring. And it's, you know, things do change. Even though you're, I think too, there's this perception of, you know, if you're a fan of something or a fan of someone, that there's like always that there's that barrier. Like, that means that, you know, we're on different levels now. And that's not ever the case with anyone ever in the world at all. I don't think I need to think. I need a big name. Chris, Leonardo DiCaprio is obviously more famous and probably a little more wealthy than your boy. And I'm perfectly okay with that. However, I don't place a barrier between me and him, or anybody else and him, or anybody else and anybody. Like, I don't know. I've always been weird about that, about the worshiping of celebrity. And I'm going a lot deeper than you asked this question. But there is that weird dynamic sometimes of, like, especially when I first start hanging out with some of these people, because I'm like, okay, well, now I really, really can't look like a fan at all. So we're not going to talk. Like, I think too, people would be surprised at how little I talk to any of my wrestling friends, any of my friends that actually wrestle, about wrestling. The minimal amount of wrestling talk there is, you people would probably be shocked, because, you know, I would think, like, oh, as a kid growing up, oh, I would love to be talking with wrestlers, because, like, oh, I get to ask all these questions, and, like, I want to know this and that. But at this point in my life, I'm like, all right, I know pretty much everything I need to know about what happens behind the curtain, and, you know, what's really going down behind the scenes. So it's now just, I want to meet cool people who are, you know, on the same wavelength as me, as far as the shit that we like and the shit that we, just do and enjoy, and you know, we can vibe out over wrestling or games or whatever, or just or other completely different shit. Doesn't matter. I don't ever want anybody I meet to feel like I'm meeting, I want to meet them because they, I don't even want anybody on this podcast to feel like, oh, he's just inviting me on the podcast because he's trying to get some boost in views. Like, I legit just want people on that. You've seen who I've had on already. It's been A, on people I'm already friends with. And the people I have planned are people that I want to be friends with or just I want to get to know better and talk to. It's you know, never been more than that to me. And I think it's a mentality I wish would be a little more common because, like I said, the celebrity worship mentality can be a little much, and I try to avoid that at all costs. Always have, always will. And Bob's your uncle, and there's your answer to that. If your old group mates from Odyssey called you right now for a reunion, would you say yes? What type of reunion we talking about would be my first question. We've dabbled in the idea over on and off over the last couple of years of like doing one song together again one time. Something did come up a few years ago. I honestly don't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember talking to one of the guys and something was coming up about the potential of some kind of show, being on some kind of show or doing something together in a pretty massive capacity that like would have taken up a lot of my time. And that's kind of when I had a conversation with one of the guys in the group being like, look, like this is my full-time thing. Like, I know if people on the outside that don't really know what I'm doing say, oh, you have a YouTube channel. Oh, okay, whatever. Like, if you don't really know what's going on, that probably doesn't mean shit to anybody. But again, once you really know what's going on, I was kind of like, I can't just stop. I can't just drop this and like do other shit. Like this, I don't know. And it was kind of unfortunate timing and one of those things. But if there was ever a situation to do something with them, just, you know, I've said I want to get them on a podcast episode. I don't know how we're going to make that work, getting everybody on the same, you know, we're all in different time zones, different states. So that is going to be a little bit of a challenge, but it's something I definitely want to do. But aside from that, it's, you know, when you say reunion, it's like, oh, what, are we going to go on tour? It's like, we weren't touring with NSYNC or like, you know what I mean? We did some really cool stuff. We had a lot of really cool moments and we did some cool shows and stuff. But I don't think, you know, if I said tomorrow, hey, we're doing a reunion thing, that it wouldn't, you know, necessarily make a huge amount of noise or make a huge ripple in the universe. It would be a fun thing to do, but that'd be pretty much the extent of it. So I would be down to do a little fun situation should the time or opportunity arise. What was the biggest mental struggle you've had and how did you overcome it? From Brando. So this is probably kind of multi-layered. I've mentioned before, like, anxiety has always been a thing in my life ever since I was like a teenager. I didn't know it was anxiety until like my mid-20s. I always just thought I had like a really shitty stomach. And I thought that, like, you know, I wasn't aware of, you know, the other effects that anxiety had on, you know, your body, your nervous system, all this other stuff. So I wasn't, unfortunately, it wasn't until I got a little bit older that like I realized what it was and started taking care of it. But a factor of that, or something that, you know, is, what's the word, is expanded quite a bit by anxiety, was like the self-doubt. I've always been very competitive, especially with myself, being very hard on myself about, you know, being perfect all the time and looking perfect all the time. And, oh, this, you know, this has to be exactly right. That's got to be exactly right. These, you know, perfectionist mentalities and these, the way I would go about doing things. And if it, even in the most minuscule way, wouldn't go my way, it would be heartbreaking for me. Like, oh, I'd be so disappointed in myself and all that stuff. So after time, if you don't get that under control and you have this constant cloud over your head that you kind of put there yourself, it starts to get worse and worse. And there was definitely a time where I slipped into, you know, a bit of a depression for probably the better part of a year. I think it was pretty rough for a little bit. I had very minimal drive. I did not believe in what I was doing. I didn't believe in myself. I didn't really care what was happening. I was kind of just coasting by and just like, oh, well, this is fucking whatever. And just not happy about it ever. And obviously, it's not a state that you want to be in, or not a state I would recommend being in. So I started to talk to people. I started to open up a lot more about it. I talked to my family. I finally went and saw my first therapist. I talked to a psychiatrist about medication, all this other stuff. So and all of a sudden, these new lights at the end of the tunnel started to kind of appear. And if anybody's taking away anything from this long ass story that I'm dragging on telling, it's that you don't really start to see those lights until you're able to open up about that shit a little bit. Because if you're keeping that to yourself and you're not talking about it, you're not talking about how you're feeling, and you're keeping everything inside and no one knows and no one is helping relieve you of that, that's going to continue to pile on and pile on and pile on, and it's going to snowball and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But the second you start to open up to people near you, around you, your family, your friends, people you trust, older people that you know, like I said, that you care for, that you trust, or that you're familiar with, you're going to start to see that, oh shit, a lot more people are going through this also. And a lot more people have answers to the things that I don't have answers to, because they also took the leap and opened up about their own problems. And it's not going to be everybody. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, go fucking talk to your neighbor and tell them how depressed you are. Like, it's not everybody is going to be so welcoming of wanting to hear about your shit, because everybody's got their own shit, right? But that shouldn't dissuade you from attempting to open up about how you feel to the people that you trust and to the people that you know care about you, and the ones that are there to try to make you feel better about it. So had I opened up a little bit earlier about that stuff, or had I been, you know, maybe taking my ego out of it a little bit, because I was very much of the mindset of like, nah, I'm not depressed, bro. I'm not depressed. I'm a man. I got a cock. We don't get depressed. Balls. Something in the balls. Something in the testicles doesn't allow for fucking depression. Like, that's literally the shit I would tell myself. Well, I wouldn't tell myself exactly that, but some sort of form of that. Like, bro, whatever. I'm a man. Depression isn't a thing. Fuck that. And, you know, it is. So once you kind of take your ego out of it and start opening up a little bit, that's when, like I said, a lot of those lights at the end of the tunnel started opening up. A lot of things started changing for me. I started feeling better. I started acting better. I started acting like myself, feeling like myself. So it's like I said, it's important to make that first move and make that first opening introduction, introducing yourself to the rest of the world, just fully you, you know, problems and all. And I promise you, people are just as fucked up as you are. I promise you that. Someone listening to this right now, like, damn, I wonder if anybody's as messed up as I am. Yup. I promise you that. What was the approach like from Pulse and Deadlock to have you on their show? From that one white guy. So Pulse himself never actually directly asked me. It was Marcus. So Marcus, as a lot of people know, has a big hand in Deadlock and was one of the original founders of the whole brand and the whole, you know, situation to begin with. And I don't even remember if everybody had signed on yet, but I remember him saying, you know, I have Pulse in mind and Tony in mind and stuff like that. And Marcus, who is my boy and who, like, I respect, and, you know, I know we have that mutual respect and friendship there. He knows that I did not get my jollies off on turning that down. The timing of that was very much coincided with that little depressive state I was speaking of earlier. I don't remember, you know, exactly what month or, you know, how, where it overlapped. there was a little of an overlap, and it was at a point where I was done with like wrestling and wrestling content. Like all of it made me just sad and just put me in a bad mood. And just like talking about wrestling, I didn't enjoy watching it. I didn't enjoy doing anything that had to do with it whatsoever. So this commitment to more wrestling frequently, like obviously the best part about it would have been spending more time making content with my friends. Luckily, I'm so close with all those guys that like we do stuff together pretty frequently anyway. But even on top of that, that opportunity to do that, of course, like would have been cool as hell. But at that point in time, it did not make sense for me. And I would not have contributed what Marcus was hitting me up for me to contribute to and for. Marcus was hitting me up to contribute in the way that he knows that I can contribute, and I wouldn't have been able to do that at that point. So I appreciate him for understanding that. I appreciate, you know, the other guys for understanding that and not being like, you know, not thinking I was trying to fucking big time or any shit like that. Like that's absolutely never the case with them. They know that I would drop everything to do anything with them at any day of the week. And then the way that just Deadlock grew and morphed into what it's become, and it's got its own fucking like vibe and just style, and it's so unique in the way that it's presented and the fan base that it grew, and just it wouldn't be the same with me there. I wouldn't be so incredibly different, but I don't know. It might not be the same. It might not have been the same. And I'm so proud of what they've done and what they've built. And I told James this in the last episode when he was on the show that they are fucking killing it. And I'm so happy for them and proud for them. And, you know, this podcast wouldn't have happened if I didn't say no to that probably. So there's a lot of things that have happened since then that I'm very happy for and that they're very happy for. And I would say that if you asked myself or them, I would say we're both pretty happy with the way things have turned out. And like I said, I'm always down to do shit with them any day of the week. That goes without saying. Will you do Universe Mode series on 2K22? Probably not. At least probably not in the way that I used to do Universe Mode series. It would be different. Ooh. This question just says, from Dayton says, hey, how are you? I'm good, Dayton. Thank you for asking. How are you? I'm quite well. I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. I think this podcast episode has gone fairly well. Y'all got some good questions in, and we talked about some good stuff. All right, let's end it with a bang, though. Let's see. Let me see what else we got. There's a lot of questions in here, but some of them are kind of repetitive or variations of other questions. Let me get a good banger, though. All right, this one kind of brings it back full circle. King Anubis, did you ever think that your fictional character, Chris Danger, would appear on a real show? So, did I ever think? Hell to the no. Hell to the no. But like I said earlier, I've been thinking about it, oddly, for the last, I'd say maybe year-ish, year and a half-ish or so. I've been like, it's been in my head, like there's one thing left to do, and that's just like, become this dude. And it's such a weird concept to wrap my head around because so many things go like that's a completely different line of work. I don't think like this isn't a decision that I made overnight or something that I haven't been thinking about for a very long time because there's a lot of factors and a lot of branching things and moving parts and, you know, avenues to explore. There's a lot of things that go on in the wrestling business, and I've always been just outside of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a full-time competitor or whatever. You know, for these last however many years, I've been a content creator about the wrestling world. And sometimes, you know, I have wrestlers on and we do it. So I've always just been right outside that little bubble. When you step into the bubble, though, that is a different fucking ballgame. Because, yes, there's a lot of people who, when they saw that graphic go up about, oh, Chris Danger's going to be at DPW and this whole thing, that they were very excited about that. There's going to be a lot of people who are wrestling fans who are not excited about that and who are going to think that it's a joke and who think it's disrespectful and who think it's, you know, a mockery and, you know, this and that. And people put their real hearts and bodies and minds and souls on the line and et cetera, et cetera. And then here comes this guy who just made up some shit and now he's, you know, getting involved for real. And, I hope nobody ends up feeling that way. But at the same time, I know that there's going to be people that feel that way. And all I can tell you right now is, man, just wait. Just wait. Just let me show you what I got planned. Let me show you what's going on in my head right now. Let me prove to myself that I'd be as good at this as I think I can be. And let me prove to everybody else, too, that probably thinks I can't. Just what I'm capable of. This is not something I take lightly. This is not an E-Fed character that's walking into a fake video game program show. This is a real fucking thing. I'm going to have a mic in my hand at the show. And a lot of these things I'm probably going to repeat to an extent about, you know, this was the final step. This is all, that's all there's left to do for Chris Danger is to be, is to exist. That shit has been drained dry in every other sense of the word. Don't get me wrong. He coming back for 2K22, my career. Don't get me wrong. Because, you know, while I might have making appearances, doing other shit throughout 2022, I'm going to need those views to be okay while I'm out of town doing wrestling. I'm going to need to come back to my views being okay, you know, when I come back from out of town wrestling appearances. All right, let me stop being a fucking joker. All I will say to end this off today is you know, I'm looking forward to this moment more than I've looked forward to a lot of things recently. I can't wait. I don't know what, you know, there's, you know, we're not doing the garden, you know. DPW fire is not coming at you live from you know, the Barclay Center, but at the same time, just like knowing that I'm gonna walk out to music with people there in a ring and then do stuff in said ring is so fucking crazy to me, and I still haven't completely wrapped my head around it, and I probably won't until after it happens. But I do want to clarify and guarantee that this is not, you know, a joke or a swerve or like a, you know, this is for real. This is, you know, Chris Danger is now officially another part of my persona, just as much as Dank Ops is, right? Just as much as Dank Ops is a part of who I am, Chris Danger is now too. And I don't want to say too much, so I'm going to leave it at that. And I don't want to say more without it happening. So I'm going to let the moments happen as they may. Let the time pass as it does. Let's not rush it. And I'm going to enjoy the ride. And I hope you enjoy the ride as well. And every single one of you guys who listens to this podcast, whether via, you know, Spotify, Apple, whether maybe you're a patron and you got it on the Patreon and you watch the video version, whatever, however you listen to this, I appreciate you. I appreciate your support and just the fact that you're here and you're still rocking with me after all this time. Those of you that have been around for a while, I know some of you are new, so fucking welcome. Hello. Hi. You know, feel free to join on whenever, because we're going to be doing this for a long, long time. I ain't going nowhere. If there's one thing that I've tried to do year in and year out, is just continue to push for new things and push towards new things. And 2022 is going to be that. is going to be a lot of that. So I hope you guys have a fantastic week. I love y'all. Dark Match returns next week also from my Dark Match patrons, though. I need someone who has had a match, though, to do Dark Match. So trust me, don't worry. That's coming back soon. A lot of great content coming to the Patreon as well. And, of course, the YouTube channel. I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Twitter. I'm everywhere. And, you know, if you're not sure, you boy got to, you know, you've got the verification now. If you had to verify, you're like, I can't follow Chris because it hasn't been verified that it's him. Guess what? It has been verified. IG and Twitter. Let's go, baby. Thank you guys so much for the love, for the support. Hopefully you enjoyed this Q&A. And I will catch you guys next Monday for a new episode of Into the Danger Zone. I love y'all. I'm out.